A very good morning to you. I trust that you have had a great Christmas and New Year celebration. Probably all of us have put on a few extra pounds over the holidays. Let me invite you quickly to turn to the book of Joshua as we focus on 2012. There would be many challenges ahead of us. Please pray for me in particular. I was getting over a cold just before Christmas, and we had a long drive to Texas, and I think we enjoyed ourselves a little bit too much. And on the way back, it was a long, hard drive, and it seems like I'm getting the same cough back. So please pray for me as I recover. Joshua is a book that I believe most of us have read. Let me invite you to turn to that as we read it together. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 18. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. I want you to pay attention to the middle section of this. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be able and careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they, too, have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Father, we thank you for these challenging words from the book of Joshua. And Lord, we pray that we will hear your voice, your challenge to us as we face another difficult year. Father, we know that you have all the resources already provided, and you are asking us to be courageous and be bold and to take from you what has already been prepared. And so, Father, we pray that we will see your hand stretched out, challenging us to move forward. Father, we pray that we will grow in 2012, that we would become more fully the people that you want us to be. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, 2011 might have been a very bad year for many of us. And 2012 may shape up to be an even worse year, a tougher year. Now, we have to raise $7 million. You can see the chart outside. Elder Dawn has been talking to you just now. That's a big challenge for any church. We will be facing tough challenges in the church, in your family, maybe at work. Some of you might be still looking for a job, or you might be laid off in 2012. Now, what makes it worse is that despite how hard some of us might work, life is not fair. You might work very hard, and your colleague may not work as hard, and you are the one who get laid off. God never promised that life is going to be fair. He said, life will be fair when I return, and we're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just look at some of these statistics. You know, they are very amusing at times, but at times shocking. Some of these are from 2011, some from 2010. The first is that, do you know that our Chief Justice only earned $212,000 last year? But the TV judge, Judy, made $45 million last year. Now you tell me, is that fair? Which job is more important? The U.S. Speaker of the House only made $223,000. But of course, we know that he has all the other perks, all right? But that $200,000. But Howard Stern, he is the shock jock talk show host who was fined by the FCC for bad language, earned, you know how much? $31 million. So where is the justice? Where is fairness? How about Kim Kardashian? All right, the celebrity. You know how much she made last year? $6 million. And what did she do? I just heard on the TV. She did nothing. And we have to work so hard. We have to work so hard. Is it fair? Many years ago, someone or a group of people circulated on the internet I suppose clips supposedly originated with Bill Gates, but it's not from Bill Gates. But I think what was said, they are very thought-provoking. It's basically actually written by a guy called Charles Sykes, taken mainly from his book in 1996, entitled Dumping Down Our Kids, Why American Children Feel Good About Themselves But Can't Read, Write, or Add. Now, the subtitle of the book is very revealing. But this is what is happening. And I pray that when you look at this clip, I think some of it is true. Maybe it doesn't apply to all of us. But I think it's very sobering. People talk down on us. And I pray that we'll learn something. If it is true, if it describes you, maybe this is the year to change. Okay? So it has sound, but I hope it is not too overpowering. The 11 rules of life, supposedly from Bill Gates, but you know it's not from him, it's from sight. I'm sorry, it's too small for you to see.
2012. I like Rule 7. I've never known people take exams so often as here. Set scores until you get the perfect score. That doesn't work in other countries. They believe this is really from Bill Gates. I hope you like that. If it applies to you, maybe this is the year to change your life. Life is not fair. God never promised that it will be fair. God did not promise that it will be a bed of roses. Many things will impact us for 2012. Are we prepared as we face it? Maybe some of us will get an incurable disease and you ask why. I just visited Texas, a very close friend. He's a pastor. He's a pastor of a church for 20 over years. He just discovered he has stage 4 colon cancer that is spread all over. Doctors gave up hope. He's a survivor. Still surviving, and the question is why? Maybe you look at other people, wow, they don't have pimples. They have wonderful skin, beautiful body, you know, and I have to deal with pimples all my life. Is that fair? Or that guy doesn't have to study hard and he makes A. Remember someone shared during baptism, while people are studying, she was sipping tea in Paris and still pass the exam? Life is not fair. We will face this kind of challenges where we will doubt if God is going to come through for us. And so I pray that as we look at 2012, at the challenges that God wants to give each one of us, I pray that we would face it the way Joshua faced the challenges that he was given back in the book of Joshua, recorded in a book named after him, probably not written by him. Maybe 2012 can become a turning point in your life, just like it was for Joshua. You know, from an assistant to Moses, you read Joshua just before, turn to the first 5 books. Whenever Joshua is mentioned, he's always the assistant. He's always the aide, basically somebody's servant or somebody's slave. Always under somebody. But that day, he was asked to take up leadership of this group. That day, Joshua faced a daunting task, and he faced it with strength, determination, and courage. Question, how did he do it? And I pray that if we can learn the secret, how Joshua faced that day, maybe we will learn better how to face 2012. Now, we don't know how old Joshua was when we read Joshua 1. But we know that for a fact that he was fighting battles, even in the book of Exodus. He was a very young man, a youth, and he wandered in the desert for 40 years with his brothers. So you would say he's 50, 60, 70 years old, about that age. Assistant, 8. He followed Moses up the mountain. He saw Moses come down with the Ten Commandments. He fought with the people. He was one of the 12 spies that spied out the land. And now he's asked to lead these 2 million people back to a place where he kind of glimpsed as one of the 12 spies many years ago. Maybe he has already forgotten the promised land. A tough job. Everyone was in awe of Moses. You and I would be if we are Joshua. It's sort of like being in the footsteps of somebody very famous and he's passing off the scene. Can you imagine being the guy who follows George Washington or Martin Luther King Jr. Or some of the other famous people? Can I do the job that this guy did? Or Winston Churchill? Can I bring up this country? May 2012, may this year be a year when each one of us find Joshua moments. And I pray that you will hear God's voice calling you. I want you to be a Joshua. I have a tough job for you. How did Joshua make it? A daunting task as it was given to him. Let me just share this with you. I don't think I've ever shared this in any church. I've been a pastor for like 20 over years. I don't think I've ever shared this with you. I've had many Joshua moments, but this was one of the top Joshua moments in my life. I believe I was about 26, 27. We went out, we planted a church. We bought our church building. We renovated it, and it was about time to have the grand opening. And the key leader in the group, basically, I look up to him. He was the one in whom we actually had a church started in his home. We worshiped in his home. That's how we formed the church. The first 9 people who were baptized and became the charter members of that church worshiped in his home. And this is what he told me one day. The church is yours. I'm going back to the mother church. I'm going back to raise another team of church planters and repeat the same thing. You're on your own. Wow. I'm telling you, that was a Joshua moment for me. I was 26, 27. I didn't really know how to run a church. I was just barely first year in Bible school, and I was given this task. I tell you, I learned really fast. I read really fast. But what this year about for you? I hope this year would be a year full of Joshua moments, because I believe the same God who challenged Joshua, who challenged me, he is challenging you. And I pray that when a Joshua moment come to you, you will know how to react because you have gone through the book of Joshua. Now, we may not agree with all the statements from sites, the 11 rules of life, but I think you will agree that we all must grow up and take our responsibilities seriously. And maybe 2012 might be the first year in your life that you wake up and say, Lord, I want to take my Christian life seriously this year. And if you're not a child of God, become a child of God. God commanded Joshua to be strong and courageous. And 3 times he said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And if you read the passage, it actually tells why. Why does God tell Joshua, you have to be strong and courageous? If you look carefully, if you have your Bibles open, the 3 commands are not exactly the same. The first and the third are the same, but the middle one, the Lord added. He tells Joshua, there are 3 things. Let me backtrack. 3 things that I believe that we can learn from this passage in order to face 2012. And in the passage that we just read, the Lord told Joshua, be strong and courageous, at least 3 times. The first and the third, in verse 6 and in verse 9, is exactly the same. But in the middle, he added one word, an adverb, be strong and very courageous. Now, the Hebrew, be strong is one word, the verb, Be courageous is another verb. You know, adverb modifies a verb. It adds force. And God is saying that, I know you're going to do a task that is tough. And so I want you to be strong and very courageous. Joshua needed strength and courage. And the passage actually tells us why. Verse 6 gives the reason. Because you need to be strong and courageous because I'm giving you a difficult task. And we read between verse 6 and verse 9. You actually find the reason why he needed to be strong and courageous. And I believe those are the same terms God is asking us to look at. We have to be strong and courageous because he's going to call upon us to do difficult things. Just like he called Joshua to do difficult things. He had the responsibility to lead 2 million people, a job that is tough and the work is going to be hard. He knew they were complaining people. There will be plenty of times when he'll be terrified. Leaders who are unafraid may be the wrong leader to follow. They might be so proud of their own strength. There will be plenty of opportunities to be discouraged. There will be difficulties, there will be challenges, detours, hardships. God didn't promise a smooth road ahead, but he did promise something, that he will be with Joshua. If you look at the last part of the verse, verse 9, have I not commanded you be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And if you jump back in your Bible to verse 5, the same thing. I will be with you. Don't worry, my presence will go with you. Sort of like God is bracketing. This is the command you should follow, but he gives an encouragement. I'll be with you. This is the job. I will be with you. And I believe the same thing is true of the Great Commission. It's a tough commission. It's a tough assignment. But Jesus said, I will be with you to the end of the earth. I have given you all the powers. I have been given authority by the Father. Now you go. I believe the same concept applies here. It's never about how strong we are. We are all weak people. It's about how strong God is and how close we are. Superman is not available. See, we are always looking for super people, people with super talents, but it's not about us. It's not about our strength. It's always about God's presence, God's promises, and God's power. And so, in giving this task to Joshua and to us, God is saying, count on my presence, count on my power. Be strong and courageous. How? In the passage actually explains how. We read that. I hope you didn't jump over it. He gives us the secret. Is there a secret? I don't really think there is a secret. It's right there in the text. He says, be careful to obey. Joshua, you know how to be strong and courageous? Obey what is written in this book. Go according to instruction. Do what I tell you. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Speak it. Meditate on it. Study it. Eat it. Live with it. Meditate on it day and night. And be careful to do everything. And if you do all that, you will be prosperous and you will be successful. Joshua needed strength and courage. Where's he going to get it? From this book. How are we going to get courage and strength? From the same book. You see, when we disobey and not trust and not follow, we lose courage. But when we obey, trust, and follow, God makes us successful and we draw strength. Wow! God came through. You know, I can still think back of that big Joshua moment for me. Wow, it's a big task to lead the church. But you know what? I hear God telling me, I'm sending you. You do it. And as I look at the Lord, you know, and I look at the task, I realized that God has given me a good past. I saw God working through the whole small group of people, coming to that place, building that church, leading people to Christ, baptizing the first group of people, and a church was... I saw God doing the impossible, buying that property. And you know what? When we obey, we follow, our faith is strengthened. It helps us to trust God for the next step, to become strong and courageous. It doesn't happen overnight. It's one little step of trusting God for strength and courage. And you grow, and you grow. These are God's rules. If we want to succeed, we want to be courageous, obey. You know, just the other day, it was a cold day, I believe it was Tuesday. I told Jean, it would be a great day to turn on the furnace. We never turn on the furnace in our house. So that would be a good day. It was a cold day. No matter what I tried, it won't turn on. And I got my neighbor to come over the next day when I saw him. He's a maintenance man. He came in, opened the cover, and showed me, this is how you open the cover. These are the valves. And even though the valves are underneath the furnace, that's how much I know about the furnace. This is what you do. No matter what he did, the pilot light came on, but the furnace won't come on. And he left. He said, something is wrong with your furnace. You need to call a serviceman. Now, after that, I cleaned up the furnace, and he told me that the instruction is in the furnace. Did you know that the instruction for your furnace is in your furnace? I thought it would burn up, right? It wasn't in the furnace. It was tied to a pipe. I took it out, cleaned it, read the instruction, and went step one, step two, step three, step four. And the furnace came on. There's nothing wrong with my furnace. I said, somehow my neighbor must have missed one step. Could that be you and I? When we read this Bible, we're not following instructions. This is an owner's manual on how to live the Christian life. Maybe you're not enjoying your Christian life. You think the Christian life ought to be lived this way, and you're feeling miserable. And you look at this book, and this is stupid. No wonder our lives are a mess sometimes. Joshua was told, follow. I'm sorry, I guess I was so caught up that I kept pressing the button, okay? Follow the instructions. And when we do that, we will always have God's intended results. Are you following the instructions from this book step by step? You know, not having the fire in the furnace is okay, just feel cold. But I think if we don't follow the instructions in this book, we have bigger problems. Much, much bigger problem. Are you willing to do with that? What instructions are you ignoring so far? If you don't know the instructions, then I pray that you start reading this book. Remember, last day we talked about a young Christian who read this Bible. In 3 months, she finished reading it. And I still remember talking to her. There goes again, I touched it. On the phone, she was telling me, you know, the more I read, can you believe reading finished the Bible in 3 months? The last time I remember, I didn't even do it in 3 months. I did it in more months than that. She said, the more, Pastor, the more I read, the more I want to read, because it's speaking to me. So my challenge to you this year is a little bit different from my challenge to you last year. Remember last year I challenged you, I gave you this? I'm sorry, I couldn't find any more of this. I only have it in Chinese. If you know how to read Chinese, you can have a few. I have them here. I know there are some English versions. Basically, if you follow this, you are following the instructions from this book. That all that is a condensation of things we should do as believers. Now, this here is a new challenge. This is the new challenge from my fitness center. I go there, and this year, this is what they gave me. Never seen it before. Interesting, you look at the top right-hand corner. If this is your actual age, probably your current health age, if you are not a healthy person, you don't exercise, you don't even walk to the grocery store that is across the road, you drive there, then probably your age is 25, your actual age is 23. But your ideal age, that's what they're shooting for, 21. Now, I don't have to explain all that to you. You can understand. We want to be fit. We want to go from the left to the right. Okay, now she's fully clothed, okay? All right? And my challenge to you this year is simple. Finish reading this Bible. If you have never finished reading the Bible, or maybe you have years ago, my challenge for you for 2012 is, why don't you make it your resolution to read through this book this year? Only 66 books. It's shorter than a lot of novels, I know. And so, be strong and courageous. That was what Joshua was told. This is what we are told. Be strong and courageous. Secondly, Joshua obeyed. It's interesting. God told him, be strong and courageous. This is what you need to do. You need to read this. And immediately what happened? Joshua obeyed. Joshua went out and did exactly what he was told. And when you read it carefully, you discover that faith and actions go hand in hand. Yes, I obey what God says, but I also have to plan. You find that he was planning. He talks about the supplies they need to cross over. He told the people in 3 days, be ready. And he told the people who have land on the east side of Jordan, you stay put with your wife and children can stay in a livestock, but you men, fighting men, come with us. You know, we say take a leap of faith. We say we have a chart out there. We plan. Planning and having faith are not opposite. They're not countering one another. They are helping one another. We need faith, but we also need to plan. We need to obey God, but we also need to plan how we can serve God and obey Him. And so we talk to the architect, how to save costs. We talk to the bank as to how to borrow as much as we can. And we have this pledge. Having the pledge card is not a sign that we have no faith. It is faith in action. Could this be God's way of telling you, this is your part. Maybe this is your Joshua moment this year. You have never given that much. And for those of us who are just working for the first time, it's a great time to trust God. And I know people who give. Start giving the moment they get a job. Maybe that is your Joshua moment for this year. Be strong and courageous. And Joshua obeyed. Quickly, third point, look at the people's reaction. They told Joshua, be strong and courageous. God told Joshua to be strong and courageous. The people turned around and told Joshua, you be strong and courageous. That's the last verse of chapter 1. And to summarize it, we don't know from the passage whether the people were there when God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. The passage is silent. So I can draw two conclusions, two possibilities. Number one is that they were there. God spoke to Joshua in the presence of all the people. But probably not. You read the text. But what I think happened was they trust Joshua so much that when Joshua related to them, this was what God told me. They just said, Joshua, if that's what God told you, you be strong and courageous. They gave Joshua a resounding affirmation of his leadership. It's sort of like what we experienced this morning in between the two worship services. We affirm the leadership of the deacons, the new elder. We want to follow you. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. You are our leaders. Be strong and courageous. You know, one tough obstacle facing many churches is the distrust between leadership and membership. Members who don't trust their leaders and leaders who don't trust their members. Members often don't follow their leaders. They are detached from the life of the church. They may be members in name, but really not. So what kind of members are you? I sometimes hear people speak disparagingly about their leaders. Unless our leaders have shown cause why we shouldn't trust them, I think the right thing to do would be like what the people told Joshua. You be strong and courageous. We will follow you. And you look at it, it sounds so terrible. Those who don't follow you, we will punish with death. Sounds terrible. If I can summarize it this way, God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. He heard it from God. And then on this other end, the people affirmed Joshua. This is what we heard. You be strong and courageous, Joshua. We need you. We need you to lead us. Brothers and sisters, today we have affirmed new deacons and some old deacons. We have affirmed a new elder, Brother Al Chan. Will you give them the kind of honor that the people in Joshua's day gave Joshua? Joshua obeyed God's instructions, and the people obeyed Joshua. Is it too much to ask that you obey your leaders? See, obedience is in some circles a bad word. I don't see a lot of this going on in churches. Could this be one reason why the church is weak and we fail? I sometimes read and hear Christians speak disrespectfully and disparagingly of their leaders. This is not good. It's not good for them. It's not good for their church. So God's call to us for 2012, be strong and courageous. Plan and do what is humanly possible, and God will do what is humanly impossible. Pray, encourage your leaders, hold them accountable, encourage them. Hold them to their responsibilities, and then they in turn will encourage you. In closing, think of Galatians, the law of the harvest. You know what's the law of the harvest? What you sow, you will reap. It's always true. And it's true down here. If we read the Bible and obey, we will reap success. If we read the Bible and disobey, we will reap the opposite. And for 2012, as we face the challenges ahead of us, if we don't seek to be strong and courageous, we don't put in the work that is needed, if we don't make it a plan to read this, we will reap the opposite effect. You probably have heard this little saying. Remember the old saying? For want of a nail, the shoe is lost. For want of a shoe, the horse is lost. For want of a horse, the king is lost. And for want of a king, the kingdom is lost. It's a clever way of saying that when we neglect a small thing, like a nail, that is the chain reaction. Maybe for you, your Joshua moment in God's mercy is a small one. But as you obey in a small area, you realize that God will give you bigger challenges, bigger Joshua moments, bigger Joshua moments. But you know, our problem is procrastination. I challenge you, don't just hear what I say. Go back and read for yourself the Bible. If you have never read the Bible through, this would be a great year. But the moment you get home, the first problem you face is procrastination. I will do it tomorrow. I pray that you'll do it immediately today. Don't put it off. And the other thing is fear. Wow, can I do it? If God calls me to do something too big for me, will I be able to do it? Think of Joshua. It was too big a job for anybody. But God says, I will be with you wherever you are. Let's stand together for a closing prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have seen us through a very difficult 2011. And Father, we know that many of our members have lost their jobs, and some of us are still seeking, looking for new employment. Father, we know that it's a tough job market, and the prospects are at best gloomy. And so, Father, we want to pray that you'll help us, Lord, to have our eyes focused on you, the one who called us to be children and to be courageous. Because, Lord, you can be trusted. So, Father, we pray that you will strengthen our weak hands, our weak knees. Help us to walk for you this year. We pray this in Jesus' precious name.